All right, so we're holding on to your Dalodon with Bay's last line, but actually I realized that when we learned yesterday, I missed out two lines of the Gemara. We had set a poet over there that called on your Dalodon with Aleph near the bottom, called Alon Shivas Yom Balechalim Nikara. We said a person who stays, who sleeps for 7 days without a dream is called bad. We brought a pasuk in that connection, and we discussed what exactly that means, but whatever, the pasuk we brought was the Soveya Yolin Bal Yipokidra, the person sleeps satisfied, he won't be visited by evil, which we understood, we darshan it, I'll think we Soveya El Sheva, don't read Soveya satisfied, but rather Sheva 7. So the Sheva, so we read the pasuk, the Sheva Yolin, if he sleeps for 7 days, Bal Yipokid, and he's not being mentioned, and he's not being visited, Minashmayim, with a dream, then raw, then it means that it means he's bad, it means there's something matter with him. Okay, so we left out this next part. Amalei of Acha Breder of Chia Ba'aba, so Rab Acha Breder of Chia says to Rab Zera, who had said this statement, Hachi Amar of Chia Amar of Yechanan. This is what Rab Chia said in the name of Rab Yechanan, something different on this pasuk. Kalam Asbiya Asmin, Medivrei Torah, a person who satisfies himself with words of Torah, Velon, and then he goes to sleep. In other words, he learns a lot before he goes to sleep. Ein Mevasrin Oseh B'suris Rois, he will not be given in his dreams bad news. Because we can reread the pasuk in the more literal way. The Saveya Yolin, he sleeps satisfied with Torah, that is, Bal Yipokidra, he won't be visited with something evil, as in bad news. Okay, so that was the part that we left out yesterday, by mistake. So now let's go to your Dalet on the Bay's last line and continue. We mentioned the point that you're supposed to say Shema with tefillin on. We discussed how one time Rav didn't, but we said that wasn't his regular practice. The shliach messed up and didn't bring in the tefillin in time. But normally you're supposed to say Shema in tefillin. And we said that if not, then it's made Eidus Shekhar of Asma. It's like giving false testimony about Hashem or about himself, according to the different Mephoshim. And that it's like bringing a korban without an accompanying mincha and nesachim. Okay, so the Amr Rav Yechanan also says, Haroitashi Kabbalah of Ol Malchus Shemayim Shlema, if a person wants to accept on himself Ol Malchus Shemayim, the yoke of Hashem's kingship, in the most perfect possible way, then this is what he should do. Yiponina, first of all, he should go to the bathroom. So that way, for example, he doesn't have to interrupt in the middle of davening to go to the bathroom, which would then break up his Kabbalah of Ol Malchus Shemayim. Also, there's the idea that if there's waste inside his body, then like so to speak, his whole body is not participating in speaking to Hashem and saying the praises of Hashem and whatever. The Yitzel Yodov, he should wash his hands. The Anich Tefillin, he should put on Tefillin. The Yikra Kriyashma, and he should say Shema. The Yisfalo, and he should daven Shema Nesra. The Zuri Malchus Shemaim Shlema, that's the proper, perfect way of accepting Malchus Shemaim when he does all these things.
We do in the morning.
So these are the things that we do in the morning. I mean, there's also, besides the simple meaning, there's also droshes. On it, yiponer also means not just the person actually goes to the bathroom, but it means he takes care to clean himself out the ruchnias of the various things that shouldn't be there or whatever. Pesher Agadza adds another thing also, like yito yodov literally means to raise up his hands. Like he explains it like a person is in the posture of like he raises a hand like what on earth am I doing over here, like with a sense of like you know what am I actually accomplishing in the world, and then with that mentality he puts on tefillin and says Krishna. All right, it's interesting, by the way, that Rebbe writes in a letter, there's one place in one of the Alter Rebbe's Maamarim, someplace in the Chutzot Torah, I think, where he quotes this Gemara and also adds that he puts on tzitzis. But when the Alter Rebbe brings this in Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't mention tzitzis. So we mentioned before about that you're supposed to have talus and tefillin on during Krishna, but the Rebbe points out in the letter, maybe the difference whether you mention tzitzis over here or not has to do with do you sleep with tzitzis or not. If you sleep with tzitzis, then you're not putting on a different pair in the morning necessarily, whereas if you don't, then you are actually, then you do have to put on a pair as well. We're married men who wear a talus, we don't make a bracha on the tzitzis in the morning because we're going to be making a bracha on the talus later in the day, and we'll cover the tzitzis. No, the talus gavur.
We're going to make a bracha
on the talus gavur, and that covers the talus cotton as well. Right?
When you put your tzitzis on in the morning, the small talus cotton, do you have to have in mind the talus gavur later on?
No, it's the other way around. When now you're putting on the talus cotton, you don't make a bracha on it yet. Later on, when you put on the talus gadol and you make a bracha on it, you should have in mind that you're also covering the talus cotton. By the way, when I mentioned yesterday, we mentioned yesterday about that Tosfos had discussed over here the issue. Let's say a person didn't have a tefillin between, and now he's coming to daven Shemoneh Esrei. So Tosfos mentions that he can put on tefillin and kallis, but then Tosfos brings from a Yitzchok of Yehuda, who was one of Rashi's Rebbes, who did that, but Tosfos says maybe not necessarily. There was a difference between kallis and tefillin, because tefillin is an important part of O Malchus Shemayim. Kallis is not really so much. After all, a kallis is really more a choiv on the garment. You're wearing a garment with four corners, and you have to have tefillin on it. So in fact, that distinction is in halacha. In halacha, if it happens that a person did not have, I mentioned this yesterday, but I said it wrongly, that if a person didn't have a talis and tefillin before davening, and he happens to get them, and he's actually between Gaul, Yisrael, and Shemoneh Esrei, he can put on the tefillin at that point, because it's important to be aware of that. No, the bracha, you say, you wait till after Shemoneh Esrei. The talis, though, he should not, because that would be too much of an interruption between Geula and tefillah, and as Tosfos is saying over here, it's not really so essential to davening as much as tefillin are, so therefore the talis will put on after Shemoneh Esrei and make the bracha, whereas tefillin you can put on before Shemoneh Esrei and then make the bracha after.
From Emet to...
No, from between Gaul, Yisrael, and Shemoneh Esrei. Yes. Yes. Okay. Onward. Somebody who follows this procedure that Rabbi Yechonin mentioned, that he goes to the bathroom, and he washes his hands, he puts on tefillin, he says Shema, and then he davens Shema Esrei. Mala olav hakosuv ki lebon mizbeach behikruv olav korban. The prophet considers it as if he had the equivalent to as if he had built a mizbeach and brought a korban. Yechiv, as you have a prophet, erchas benikoyim kapoi. I will wash my hands with cleanliness, and I will go around your Mizbeach Hashem. So we see that the washing and all these things are associated with building a Mizbeach. Marsha points out that the Gemara is also referring to another pasuk in Tillim. There's a pasuk in Kapitel Chav Vav in Tillim. There's another pasuk in Kapitel Ayin Gimel that also uses the expression Va'erchas v'nikoyin kapoy. But there, the beginning of the pasuk is Achrik zikisi levav. Literally, it means that a person might say, "For nothing I've cleansed my heart Va'erchas v'nikoyin kapoy, and I've washed my hands in purity." But Marsha explains it actually refers to this whole procedure over here. Achrik, he's emptied himself out because he went to the bathroom. Zikisi Libi refers to davening. Va'erchas v'nikoyin kapoy refers to washing his hands rather. Okay. Amalei Rava. So Rava says to Rabbi Abba, Loi Sovel Amar Ki Ilu Tovel. Why are you saying it's only as if he built a mizbeach? Shouldn't you consider it also the equivalent of as if he had tovel? Just washing his hand is considered, the pasuk considers it as if he had washed his whole body. Dichtiv erchas b'nikoyin v'leikotav archis kapoy. Because the pasuk uses the expression erchas, I will wash, whereas if it just meant I will wash is meaning that it was implying washing his whole body, as opposed to if it just meant his hands, then it would have used the expression archit. I will wash in a transitive sense. You have the in grammar, you have transitive and intransitive verbs. In Hebrew, erchas means I will wash is an intransitive verb. He's doing it to himself. In Hebrew, such a thing is called a poyal oimed. A transitive verb is when you're doing something to somebody or something else. In English, it's called a transitive verb. In Hebrew, it's called poyal yotze. Archit is a poyal yotze. Erchas is a poyal oimed. So therefore, erchas, I will wash, seems to imply, even though the pasuk continues, that he's washing his hands, but the fact that it says erchas in an intransitive sense should mean that it's the equivalent of washing his whole body.
I thought, okay.
Yeah.
I suppose when you put A, it means it applies to the object.
But here it doesn't say F anyway. No, that's true. When you have F, then it makes the next thing an object. That's true. But we're talking about as far as the verb. The verb can be something referring to yourself or something referring that you're doing to someone else. Erchas refers to himself. Archit would mean something else, namely his hand. Okay. Amalei Ravina l'Rava. Ravina says to Rava in this connection, Ozi Mar, Rebbe, look, hi, Silver Merabon under Osam Mar Rava, there's this young Tamad Chacham who came from the west, from Eretz Yisrael, but Omar, and he's saying a din as follows. Misha Eloi Mayim Luchas Yodav, somebody who does not have water to wash his hands before davening, Mekaneach Yodav Ba'ofer, he can wipe his hands with dirt, or with sur, or with a pebble, or with kismis, or with slivers of wood, and then say a bracha. How can you do that? On the lake, the Rava tells him, Shaper Kama. Actually, this young Talmud Chacham is saying a very good point. Niksiv erchas b'mat. His question is, what do you mean? How are you supposed to wash your hands with water? Where do you get this idea? No, then you're okay. Then omelet, shap your comma. This Talmud Chacham is actually saying a very correct thing. Miksiv echas b'mayim. After all, the pasuk that we just quoted doesn't say, I will wash with water. V'nikoyim ksiv. It says, I will wash with cleanliness, which implies kol midi d'minaki, which implies anything that can cleanse your hands. So therefore, so before davening or certain other times when you have to wash your hands, water is the best. But if you don't have, actually, the Rashba talks in a Tshuva, the Rashba and other Rishonim talk about, there's certain cases this does not apply to. For example, a person gets up in the morning, there's a Gemara in Shabbos that tells us there's a Ruach Ra on his hands, and only water, only washing with water will take it away. So therefore, there you can't substitute dirt or pebbles or what have you. You have to use it. So the Rashba talks about in a Tshuva. Based on that, though, you wouldn't see that you have to actually wash using a keli. But because we said before, b'yitol yada, that the proper way is to wash your hand in netilas yadayim, which implies with a cup. That's where we get the concept of netilas yadayim, of actually washing negovaser in the morning. Were it not that, all you would have to do is just rinse your hands under the sink or something.
Then it would say
luchas. The fact that it's a yitol yada, right? Okay. So Rava says, where do we see that it's good enough to cleanse your hands with something else if you don't have water? Because we find that Rav Chista would curse out Amanda Mahadra Amaya, somebody who is looking around for water, the Idan Sloisa, when it's time to daven. In other words, actually Tosfos brings over here a different girsa, not to daven, but rather Lakrishma. Rashi also apparently has that. Well, actually, the Gemara itself is going to say, "Be'idan Sloisa," in the time of davening. So, in other words, when it's time to daven, Rav Chista is saying, don't bother looking around for water. You don't have water. Wipe your hands on something else and daven. So the Gemara says, "Vahani mili l'krishma." Now, that only applies as far as saying krishma. Avol tefila mehadra. But when it comes to davening Shemoneh Esrei, then you should be looking around for water. Now, what's the difference? Rashi says the difference is krishma. You have a fixed time for it. Minatzera. If you don't say it by the end of 3 hours, you've missed the opportunity. As opposed to tefillah, Rashi says you could daven tefillah all day. Now, the question is, what do you mean you could daven tefillah all day? We know that there's a deadline for shacharis also, 4 hours or chatzos, according to the different opinions. So one possibility the Rashba discusses, maybe it means only daraisa. Daraisa, shema, has a deadline, tefillah does not. Because midaraisa, there's no, the Rambam holds there is a mitzvah to daven minatorah. There's just no fixed time for it minatorah. The fixed time were established by the Chacham. The Ramban holds even the whole concept of tefillah every day is only dirabanan. Anyway, the point is that there's definitely the fixed time is only dirabanan. So therefore, there's more leeway with it.
Midaraisa,
there's no particular midaraisa. Midarabanan, there are fixed midarabanan, there are fixed times. So that's one possibility what Rashi means. Another possibility, they say, is suppose a person did miss shacharis by an onus. We're going to learn at the beginning of the fourth parak. They can daven an extra mincha to make up for it. Where the person missed shema, there's no making up for it. Therefore, in that sense, shema is a more urgent matter than tefillah. So therefore, the Gemara is saying that this that Rav Chista is talking about, that he criticized people who are looking for water, is referring to shema, because then they're going to end up missing the time, and they won't be able to make it up later, whereas tefillah, they could, midaraisa, they could daven it later, and they could also, you can daven a second mincha if necessary, because it was an onus. With that said, Tosfos says that there are manuscripts of the Gemara that don't, Tosfos himself prefers the Girsa that takes out this whole part and that says that what Rav Chista is saying applies equally to Krishma and to Tefillah. The Poskim don't pass in that way. They do say they do accept what we have in the Gemara, that there's a difference between Shema and Tefillah. Okay, so the question is, Ad Kama, how far does a person have to look for water before he's davening Shemoneh Esrei, if he doesn't have, and then he can just give up and say, okay, I'll just wipe my hands with something else. Ad Pausa. He has to be willing to go up to a parasa, which is 4 mil. Bahani Mili, the Gemara says, that only applies to Kameh. That would only apply if that's ahead of him. In other words, he's on a road, let's say. He's trying to get to some point. Within a parasa ahead of him, there's a place where he knows that there's water. Then he shouldn't daven Shemoneh Esrei yet. He should wait till he gets there, find water, wash his hands, and only then daven. But if the place is more than a parasa away, then he can just go ahead. Then he should just go ahead and wipe his hands with something else and daven. And, but that's only l'kameh, that's only ahead of him, avalachorei, but if the place where there was water is behind him, meaning that he would have to go back, he'd have to double back on his trip, even if it's a mil away, he doesn't have to return for it. He doesn't have to go a mil out of his way in order to find it. And the Gemara says, Umina, so we see from that then, we can deduce from that, Milhu de'enis chozer, so we're saying he wouldn't have to return a full mil, ha'pochas mi mil chozer, but implying if it's less than a mil away, even though it's behind him, he does have to take the trouble to do that. So these halachas are brought in Shulchan Aruch. So a person is traveling on the road, he has to, if he knows that there's a place where there's water up to a parasa ahead of him, then he has to wait for that. If it's behind him, he doesn't have to, he'd only have to go back if it's less than a mil away. If it's more than, if it's a mil or more away, then he doesn't have to. And when he doesn't have to, then he can just wipe his hands with anything and then daven. Okay. Mishnah says, also it says in Shulchan Aruch, actually maybe not in Shulchan Aruch, like Mishnah Berurah says, that maybe all of this really only applies if the person's hands are actually dirty. If it's more along the lines of he washed negovaser in the morning and he doesn't particularly have any reason to think that they got dirty, then he can daven without. Okay. Mishnah says Hakodes Shema v'leishmiel oznay. If a person says Shema and did not have and his ears did not hear the words, in other words, he just mouthed the words and he didn't say it with any kind of voice that he could hear. Yotza, he's Yotza. Rabbi Yosi Omer lo Yotza. Rabbi Yosi says he's not Yotza, as we'll see in the Gemara why. What about another case? If he said Shema, but he didn't enunciate the letters clearly, and we'll see, there are various examples that we're going to talk about. It means, among other things, it means to actually enunciate the individual letters clearly. For example, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to be careful to enunciate the Dalet of Echad clearly, so it doesn't sound like a Reish, because otherwise it sounds like you're saying Acher, Papasholim. But in general, the letters have to be pronounced precisely. In Shulchan Aruch, it talks about you even, so you're supposed to be careful, for example, about Shvanah and Shvanach in the various places in Shema.
How do you pronounce
a Shvanah? So you know, a Shvanah has a sound to it. It says, where's a Shvanah? It's silent. So for example, let's say, Shema Yisrael, not Shema. But,
Shema.
Well, take for example, the first two words. Shema Yisrael. The Shva under the Shin of Shema is a Shvanah. So it has to have a meaning, in other words, that it's supposed to be pronounced. It has a sound to it. Shema.
It's a two dots.
It's a two dots, yeah. It has a sound to it. It has an if sound. As opposed to the Shva under Yisrael is a silent Shva. That's the difference.
Which is?
Yisrael, meaning that you, as if there was no Nakoda there at all. So you have to be careful with that kind of thing. So if a person didn't, he was careless with the pronunciation, Rabbi Yossi Ema Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Ema Lo Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says he's Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says he's not. Continues the Mishnah. If a person reads Shema out of order, and he reads words out of order, he reads according to most poskim, sukkim out of order, lo yotza, then he's not yotza. Karavata, what if he says Shema and he makes a mistake, and he's not sure where he's up to, he made a mistake, let's say he read something out of order, yachzor, the makam shata, he should return to where he made the mistake. So he said part of it out of order, let's say he has to go back to that point and continue from it. So therefore he has to start, but he doesn't start over from the beginning, he starts over from where he first made the mistake. It also includes, as we'll say in the Gemara, that let's say a person is in Shema and he's not sure where he's up to. So then he goes back to the last place that he knows for sure that he said. We'll see examples of that in the Gemara on Daf Zayin. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. My time with Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say in the first part of the Mishnah that if he didn't hear the words that he's saying, he's not Yossi? The reason is Mishum Dichtiv Shema, because the pasuk is Shema, and that implies Hashmei Ala Oznecha Mashat Amos Mipicha. As we learned at the beginning of the parak, it means make your ears hear what you're enunciating with your mouth. So therefore, you don't hear, you're not Yossi. V'Tanakama Sofer, where the Tanakama hold, Shema teaches us something else. It teaches us the whole Loshon Shata Shemea. It teaches us, as we said at the beginning of the parak, that you can say Shema in any language that you can understand. What does Rav Yossi answer to that? He says, Tanti Shema Mina. Actually, we can learn both things from the word Shema. Now, how can you learn two things from one word? So Rashi says, once you're saying B'chol Loshon Shata Shemea, any language that you can hear, automatically, that implies you have to hear it. Because if you don't hear it, then, in other words, if it just meant any language you understand, then it would have said it, instead of said Shema, it would have said Hobin or something. So like this, that it says Shema, then it means, number one, it has to be something that you can understand, because the word Shema does also mean understand. But number two, because it says Shema rather than Hobin, it means you literally have to hear it, says Rabbi. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to start
to indicate a high level of understanding that you need.
It. Well, that may be. That's fine. But the fact is, the word Hobin would mean to understand, but...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so the point is, in other words, Rabbi Yossi is saying it means both. It means that you have to understand it. It means you also have to hear it. So the Gemara is going to now start a discussion on a related topic about a case where a person doesn't hear something and relate it to our mission. Tnanhasam, we learn in a Mishnah in Masechet Shlomos, Cheresh Hamadaber Ve'en Hashemeya, a deaf person who can speak but he can't hear. Now, usually in Halacha, usually in Shas, when we talk about a Cheresh, usually we mean a deaf mute. But here we're not talking about that over here, because a deaf mute, we're going to talk about that kind later on. But that kind is not chayev in mitzvahs in general, because he doesn't have, he's not considered to have normal intelligence, because if he can't hear and he can't speak with anybody, then he can't develop any kind of, but here we're talking about one who's able to speak, he's not able to hear. So let's say, for example, a typical case would be he became deaf later in life, so he'd already learned to speak, and then he became deaf. Nowadays, when they're able to teach deaf people to speak, then you have a discussion among the later poskim whether in fact they have the status, even if a person is born deaf, but they later on learn to speak, which nowadays they're able to do, or are they considered the kind of cheresh who doesn't have normal intelligence? I think the consensus in poskim is in fact that not. But here anyway, we're talking about the more straightforward example where let's say he became deaf later in life. So the Mishnah says, Lo Yitron, he should not take Truma L'Hatchila, because when he makes the bracha on it, he's not going to be able to hear the bracha. The imtaram truma se truma. But if he took truma, then b'di'evet it's valid. So the question is, man tana cheresh hamadaba ve'en shemeya, b'di'evet ein l'chatchila loy. Which tana is it that's saying that this kind of cheresh, who is deaf but he can speak, but he can speak but he's deaf, that he can only take truma b'di'evet, not l'chatchila? Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Yosi. Rav Chisda says that would be according to Rav Yosi of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah had said that if a person says Shema and he didn't make his ears hear it, Rabbi Yehuda says that he's Yotzer. Now the Mishnah had not actually said Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, the Goyis Habach takes that out. But Mephoshim explained that since Rabbi Yehuda argues with Rabbi Yosi in the second part of the Mishnah, we can assume he's also the one arguing with him in the first part. Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda is saying that he's Yotzer, Rabbi Yosi and Eloyosa, and Rabbi Yosi is saying by Shema he's not Yotzer. So let's consider. Ad kam like Omer Rabbi Yosi lo yotze elegav krishma daraisa. Now, why is Rabbi Yosi saying that he's not yotze? Is because krishma is something daraisa, and something daraisa he holds the person has to actually hear it. Aval truma. But when it comes to truma, the whole problem is mishum brachahu. The whole issue why a deaf person why there'd be an issue with him taking truma is because of the bracha. And ubracha d'rabbanan. So they have, and the bracha is only d'rabbanan. The whole concept of saying a bracha on most mitzvahs is only d'rabbanan. The loy b'bracha talya milsa, and the validity of the taking truma does not depend on the bracha. The bracha is d'rabbanan, and the validity of the truma does not depend on the bracha. So there's a lot of discussion here. There's a lot of discussion here. What exactly the Gemara means with these two lines. One of the Rishonim, I think the Ritva, says that what the Gemara is saying is, if the bracha was daraisa, then we could say that the validity of the truma depends on the bracha. But since the whole bracha is only derabanan, whereas truma is daraisa, then obviously the validity of the truma can't depend on the bracha. The Pnei Yeshua says the Gemara is saying two different things. Number one, the fact is a bracha is only derabanan. And number two, even if it was daraisa, the validity of the truma wouldn't depend on the bracha. They would be two independent things. Most brachas are derabanan. We're going to talk about later on in the Masechta. We're going to talk about there are a couple of brachas that are daraisa. The Kafamazin is one of them. But most brachas are derabanan. So again, Tosfos Rosh's way of understanding our Gemara is that it's all one argument. The whole bracha is only derabanan. Therefore, the validity of the truma cannot possibly depend on the bracha. The truma is daraisa. The Pnei Yeshua understands it differently. He says that what the Gemara is giving is two different arguments. Number one, the bracha is only derabanan anyway. And even if the bracha had been daraisa, it wouldn't affect the validity of the truma even if he didn't hear the bracha. So that's why Rabbi Yosi would say over there, the Mishnah would say over there, and where Rabbi Chisda is telling us that this is Rabbi Yosi saying this, that b'di'evet his truma is valid. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, by the way, has a whole other discussion of it in his Trumas. He wants to say that maybe what the Gemara means is we would have argued if we said that truma depends on the bracha, what we would have said is, in effect, he's only willing to have it be considered valid truma if the bracha is valid. But since we don't say that, then we assume that truma is valid anyway. So when it comes to that, in other words, Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, who says that you yotzeh even if you didn't hear Shema, the Pashtus, he's not going to say when it comes to Truma, where the bracha is only the Rabbanon, that it would be only the Bidyevid. The Pashtus, he would say that it's valid even the Hapchila for a deaf person to do it. Rabbi Yossi, who an on Mishnah, says that it's no good by Krishna, he would be the one, logically, who would be saying maybe that by Truma it's not so important. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, but actually, who says that that Mishnah in Trumas is according to Rabbi Yossi? Dilma Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe, in fact, it is according to Rabbi Yehuda. But Omer Gaber Krishma Nami Di Evadein Lachatchil Alay. After all, in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is also saying that only by Krishma it's only by Di Evad that it's okay. Kedet Hakatani Hakore Di Evadein Lachatchil Alay. After all, our Mishnah says Hakore at Shema. Doesn't say if Rabbi Yehuda had meant Lachatchil, you don't have to read the words of Shema. He would have said Kore at Shema. The Ein Tzorech Lashmir LaOzne or something to that effect. Hakore at Shema. In general, in the Mishnah, when a case is introduced with a hey like that, it means somebody who did it, then he was the din, implying it's not the lachila dika way to do it. So Rabbi Yehuda agrees it's only the rabbanon, and it's only the b'di'evid. So maybe by Truma also says it's only the b'di'evid. Amri, so the answer, no. Hi, because Tony Hakore, no, because the reason why our Mishnah says Hakore, maybe as a matter of fact, Rabbi Yehuda does in fact say that even lachila, it's okay to say Krishna that way. Why does the Mishnah use the word Hakore? The reason is because the Mishnah wants to tell you how far Rabbi Yossi goes, where he says that even the Evid is no good. In other words, that Akore is more for Rabbi Yossi, not so much for Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos asked the question, usually we say Koicha Dehekera Odit. The Mishnah usually tries to highlight how far the Masel is going to go. The answer is, Tosfos says, because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that Shema means Hashmei Ala Ozmecha. So according to him, there's no Chiddush that it's good. The Chiddush is that Rabbi Yossi, who wants to learn from Shema, Shmei Ala Ozmecha, they have to hear it with your ears. For him, it says, for him, we want to highlight, therefore, how far he goes, that he's saying it's not only Hakhila, but even B'di'evet. Rabbi Yehuda, there's no reason to highlight that he allows it even Hakhila, because according to him, there's no reason to think that he couldn't. He doesn't hold that Shema means that.
Fine, but it's still fair.
No, so that's the point. Okay, that's one answer. The Rashba gives a different answer, which is the whole thing over here, we're only trying to make an assumption over here. When do we say Kerecha Be'er Teir Odech? When it comes to Maskama. We're not on Maskama here.
We assume,
right. So maybe indeed Rabbi Yehuda could say that by Shema it's only, so that's the answer. No, we're assuming at this point Rabbi Yehuda would allow Shema if he didn't hear it, even Lachila, and therefore we can't assume that the Mishnah and Truma would be according to him, because why would he say by Shema it would be good Lachila, and by Truma, where the Bracha is only the Rabbanon, it would be only the Diyavon. So it makes sense, therefore, that it would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Where the Mishnah uses the word Hakodah to tell us how far Rabbi Yossi goes, that even B'di'evit it's no good. Ge'ir of Yehuda, because you could very well say that Rabbi Yehuda afilah hatchilah nami Yossi, you could very well say that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Yossi even hatchilah.
Okay.
That's fine. In the first part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is more machmir. No, the point is, in other words, what?
Usually, is when you cross.
That's what I'm saying. That's what Tosfos was pointing out. But here, over here, where we have no reason to think Rabbi Yehuda would even think that there's any problem with not hearing it, because he doesn't understand Shema in that way. He understands Shema only to mean any language that you understand, then according to him. So therefore, the Mishnah would prefer, therefore, we're assuming that the Mishnah would prefer to highlight how far Rabbi Yehuda goes with his opinion, that when he says you learn it from Shema, it's actually ma'akiv, that it actually prevents the mitzvah from being fulfilled if he doesn't. Okay. The Gemara says, fine, but my ukimta. So, okay, what are you explaining? So far, you're saying that the Mishnah in Trumas about a deaf person, you're saying it's going according to Rabbi Yossi. The problem with that is, ve'ela hodetanya, what about this that we learn in a Braisa? Lo yivorech odem birkas hamazon b'liboy. A person should not say birkas hamazon without hearing the word. Now, b'liboy usually would mean in his heart, mean that he's only thinking.
You said b'liboy most of the time.
You don't say birkas hamazon b'liboy, you actually say it with your words. You actually say it verbally. Beliboy means that, so that's the thing. Usually when we talk about saying something beliboy, usually it means saying it in a way that the person, usually it means not even saying it, it just means thinking it. But Rishonim explain over here, that's not what the Gemara means over here. Most Rishonim explain, that's not what the Gemara means over here. There's no reason to think that hiru would be yotze at all. In general, we have a concept in halacha, hiru lav to dibu gami. Thinking is not the equivalent of speaking. So over here, lo yivarech adam birkas hamazon b'liboy means that, and Rashi explains that it means lo yishmiel ozna, means he said it, he moved his lips, but he didn't make his ears hear it. So he just moved his lips. So the question is he yotze? So the Braisa says, lo yivarech adam birkas hamazon b'liboy, a person should not say birkas hamazon like that, where his ears are not hearing it. Ve'ibirach yotze, but if he did, then b'di'eved he's yotze. Mani, so you're going to have to ask, which one would it be like? Lo yirav yotze, lo yirav yehuda. If you're going to say that the case in Trumas about the deaf person is according to Rav Yossi, then you're going to have a problem with this braisa that we just quoted. It doesn't go according to Rav Yossi or Rav Yehuda. The ear of Yehuda ha'amal ha'tchila nami yata. So far, we're saying that in our Mishnah, when it comes to Shema, which is daraisa, Rav Yehuda is saying he's Yossi even ha'tchila. Birkas ha'mazin is also daraisa, so therefore Rav Yehuda would have to say the same thing would apply there. Ear of Yossi d'yevet nami loy. And you're saying in our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda is saying even b'dyevet is not Yossi. So by Birkas ha'mazin, he wouldn't be Yossi either. So why would we say that there's a ha'tchila and b'dyevet? So it seems we can't be saying that Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's good even lachchila, and Rabbi Yossi is going to the opposite extreme and saying it's no good even b'diavad, because what are you doing with benching? So the Gemara answers that. Elamai Rabbi Yehuda. So what are you going to say that the Mishnah in Truma is according to Rabbi Yehuda, b'diavad ein lachchila loy, and you're going to say that both when it comes to Shema and when it comes to the bracha on Truma, in both cases Rabbi Yehuda is going to say it's only good b'diavad and not lachchila. And therefore, you're going to say that when the Mishnah says HaKodesh Shema, it means according to both of them, because we're talking about a B'dievet situation, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying Yotza, and Rabbi Yossi is saying Mo Yotza. But the Hatchila, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you have to actually say Shema in a way that you hear it. The problem with that is, Elo HaDetoni Rabbi Yehuda Breidit of Shimon Pali. What about though? You have a Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon Pazi, taught that says Chedesh Hamadabav Ein Shemei Atorim Hatchila, that a deaf person who can't hear but he could speak is able to give truma even Hatchila. You still have the problem. Mani Lo Rabbi Yehuda Valer Rabbi Yossi. Then you still now if you're going to say Rabbi Yehuda allows it by Shema only b'diavad, then what do you do with that Braisa? It's not according to Rabbi Yossi. It's not according to Rabbi Yehuda. Eid Rabbi Yehuda Ha'amad Diavad Ein Hatchila Loi. And at this point, the Gemara is not assuming that there would be a difference between Kriyashma and the Bracha. The fact of the matter is that in general, when the Chachamim make a Takana, they usually make it similar to the Din D'Oraisa. So what are you going to do then? So in other words, the problem is basically we have three different cases over here. We have our Mishnah, which we don't know whether it's talking about Hatchila and B'diavad. We have a Mishnah in Masechet Trumas that talks about B'diavad and saying that it's okay. The first Mishnah that we quoted from Trumas, and now we have a Braisa now that says that you can do that, he can do it even Hatchila. And we have another Braisa that Birkas HaMazon that says that only B'diavad. So how do we work out? How do we work out? If we only have two opinions to work with, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, then how do we make all these fit? The answer is, that's the question. So again, Rabbi Yehuda would say only B'diavad, and Rabbi Yossi would say D'yavid also not. So no. Ela la'olam Rabbi Yehuda. No, rather we can answer like this. Rabbi Yehuda is the author of the Mishnah in Trumas. That the Cheresh is able to, the last braisa that we quoted, that the Cheresh is able to take Truma l'hatchila, v'afilo l'hatchila nami, so Rabbi Yehuda would say, regarding the last braisa, he would be the author of that braisa. The Cheresh is able to take Truma and make the bracha even l'hatchila, even though he can't hear the bracha. But what are we doing with the fact that we see, it seems that our Mishnah, he's allowing it only to be d'yavid, v'leikasha hodigei hodirabe. There's no contradiction because one is his own opinion and the other is the opinion of his Rebbe. It's not. His Rebbe is Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. So one second, it's not. It's Tanya, really, because it's the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Oyma Meshum Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, HaKoreh Shema Torech Shiyah Shmiya La'oznoi. A person who says Shema is supposed to have that his ears hear it. Shenema Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Here.
He doesn't agree with that.
Right. Amar Leih Rav Meir, so the Meir says, correct. So in other words, our Mishnah that's saying HaKoreh then would actually be not Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion, but the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Yehuda himself would not agree with that, and he would say even the Hatchila is okay by Shema, and even the Hatchila is okay by Shema. Okay.
Why does he have to repeat his Rebbe's opinion?
Because he wants us to know his Rebbe's opinion. He himself disagrees with it. Fine, but he still should know it. Okay. Amar Leih Rav Meir continues the Braisa. So Rav Meir says to Rav Yehuda, why should he have to hear it? Harehu Omer Asher Anoshim Atzav Chayim Al Levavecha. After all, the pasuk continues that these words, which I command you today, should be on your heart, meaning Acha Kavana Halev Hein Hein Advarim, meaning that it goes mainly according to the Kavana of the heart. So therefore, even Lachilah, you shouldn't have to hear the words.
Who says that? I mean, maybe it's both.
if it's, the fact is, if it's stress, it's all about
Allah.
Yeah, okay, but still, he learns, he says that the fact is, if you have Shema implies you have to hear, and Allah Vavecha implies you only have to have Kavana, then he understands that Kavana is good enough. But as long as you're saying the word, yeah. Hashta to us is Lahachi. Okay, now that we reach that point, Afilu came at it, so now that we know that there's a third opinion, now we know that Meir says it's allowed even on Filah, then now we're not limited to only two opinions. Before, we were trying to find how do you have three opinions that fit in two different Tanoim, and we were forced to say that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now we don't have to say that. Now with that third opinion, Hashta to us is Lahachi, Afilu came at Rabbi Yehuda Kirabe Smirale. You could say that Rabbi Yehuda agrees with his Rebbe, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but like Kasha, Horab Meir, Horab Yehuda. We could say, after all, then, that the one that says that the guy can take truma even l'hatchila is appointed a mayor. The one that says that it's only b'di'eved could be appointed a Yehuda. And the one that says, and meanwhile, Rabbi Yossi, in our Mishnah, would be saying that's possible altogether, that's no good altogether because he didn't hear it. And the same thing, right? So according to the first explanation,
there's two
possibilities. We started by saying that you have Rabbi Yehuda's own opinion, we have Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and then we have Rabbi Yossi. So we would have said to begin with that the one that said that a cheresh can take truma l'chatchila is according to Rabbi Yehuda. The one from Masechta Trumos that says that only b'di'eved would be according to Rabbi Yossi, he would say, fine, Kriyas Shema is d'oraisa, the bracha on truma is only d'rabbanan. And then the one that's saying that a person who says Dirkat Hamazin Beliba, Yiberach Yotza, that would be Rabbi Yehuda quoting Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Clearly, he should hear it, but for the evidence, okay, if not.
That's
the first interpretation. The second interpretation, we still have those three opinions, but now we can say, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah have the same opinion. So therefore, the one that a cheresh can take Truma l'hatchila would be Rabbi Meir, not Rabbi Yehuda at all. The one about that the Di'evet he can take Truma would be according to Rabbi Yossi, and the one about benching the Di'evet being okay. Because Rabbi Yossi would say Shema is one thing, it's Daraisa, but the Bracha on Truma is only Darabah. And Birkat HaMazon, which is also Daraisa, and we're saying the Di'evet is okay, but L'Hatchila not, that would be according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So now the Gemara starts another discussion related to this, also involving a case of a cheresh. And the Gemara is going to go over much the same kind of thing, trying to attribute the different opinions. Snan Hossam, we learn in a Mishnah in Megillah, Hakol Ksherim Likris Hossam. Before we start with that, I forgot, I wanted to mention an interesting thing before, when he said before about Rabbi Yossi learning two things from Shema, that he said, Hashmei Allah Oznafa, and that you have to understand the language. There's an extra, the Rashba, I think it is, points out another reason why you can learn two things from the same pasuk, besides what Rashi said. The fact is, if you're saying a language that you hear implies that you're hearing it, he says also because if you... language that you hear implies... No, it means a language that you hear, means that you understand, implies that, that you're able to hear it. Because otherwise it would have said, help.
If you understand it, you have to hear
it. Right. But anyway, the Rashba says a different thing. He says that machshava... He says that if a person is only thinking, that doesn't have, there's no actual language that a person thinks in. Thinking is more abstract. When a person is thinking what words to say, sure, they think of the particular words. And in Chassidus, it talks about that in a lot of places. This statement of the Rashba we find that concept in many places in Chassidus, that machshava, the abstract machshava is far higher than dibur, because it's far higher than language. Yeah, it doesn't yet, it's like chokhmah versus bina, it's not yet delineated into any kind of language. It's an abstract idea. They can be, they're the same thing no matter what language a person speaks. And
something
later on, as a person is developing the idea and thinking how to express it, then of course he's putting it into words of his native language or whatever language he's going to speak.
Depends on the idea. I mean, some ideas process with the language, some without.
Well, but even then, you have the initial germ of the idea. It doesn't involve any particular language. I mean, there is an idea. There's an idea that some linguists came up with, 50 or so years ago. They call it the Safer Wharf hypothesis, which is that different people that speak different languages actually think differently. Like their thought processes are arranged differently. I don't know if they've ever been able to prove anything yet. Okay. Anyway. Okay. We learn in a Mishnah in Megillah, Hakol Ksherim Likris Megillah. Everybody is kosher to read the Megillah and be most the other people. Chutz Mecheresh Shoyt of a Cotton, except for a Cheresh Shoyt of a Cotton. And again, the pastors here, we're talking about a Cheresh who can speak, because otherwise, how is he reading the Megillah? Rabbi Yehuda Matri of a Cotton. Rabbi Yehuda says that a Cotton is able to be most the other people. Tosfos begins the discussion over here, and the Gemara is going to continue the discussion later on. Are we talking about a kid who's of the age of chinuch? Are we talking about a kid below the age of chinuch? Anyway, we'll get to that in the Gemara. The question is, man tana cheresh di'abed nami lo? Again, which tana says that a cheresh, even b'di'abed, is not able to be mozi people with Megillah reading? That's what we're going to, yeah. Omer of Masnah of Yosi. So the Masnah says, like the Chista said in the previous discussion about Shlomo, this would have to be according to Rav Yosi. The Tanana Kores Shmavalei Shmiel Alna Yosa Divrei Rav Yehuda Rav Yosi Amela Yosa. However, the Gemara doesn't like that for the same reason as before. Umi Mai Rav Yosi he the Di'eved Nami Loi. Who says that Mishnah has to be according to Rav Yosi, and that means that even the Di'eved can't be mostly people with the Megillah reading? Dilma Rav Yehuda, maybe that Mishnah goes according to Rav Yehuda, and he would say that only l'hatchila, a cheresh is not able to be mozi other people. No, Rav Yehuda would be saying, this that Mishnah would be saying, a kol k'sherim, look at the Megillah, chutz cheresh shayt l'katan, would be only l'hatchila. But maybe b'di'evet it would be okay. So therefore, hodi'evet shaper dummy. The same way as Rav Yehuda says b'di'evet, the person says shema and doesn't hear it, then he's yoyt. So the same way you could say that by the Megillah, a person is not able to hear what he's reading, but b'di'evet he's learning people. Okay. The Gemara says, lo tzalkadai. No, you can't think that way. Because after all, the Mishnah mentions all three of them together, the cheresh and the shoita and the cotton. Ma shoita v'katan v'eved nami loy. If a shoita reads the Megillah or a cotton reads the Megillah, there's no question, okay, if we're Rav Yehuda, a cotton, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But according to the Chachamim, a shoita and a cotton can definitely not be mozi anybody. And even Rav Yehuda agrees by a shoita.
The Megillah.
No, that's fine, but still, you have a mitzvah, you have a mitzvah midrabanan to read it. So we're comparing it to the bracha and shruma, like we did before. Mm-hmm. So
on Truma, you have some opinion say it's Doraisa.
No, Truma, everybody agrees is Doraisa. But the Bracha on Truma is Drabana. Nobody said the Bracha was Doraisa.
Okay, so everybody agrees the Bracha on Truma is Drabana.
It seems so, yeah.
Okay.
Whereas when it comes to Megillah, the whole thing is Drabana, right? Okay. Anyway, so the point is that the Mishnah mentions them all three together. Cheresh shoita v'katan. Ma shoita v'katan di'evet nami loy. Just like a shoita and a katan, even b'di'evet, they can't be mozi other people. Af cheresh di'evet nami loy. Evidently, the Mishnah must mean that even b'di'evet, a cheresh cannot be mozi other people. So there you go. It can't be that Rabbi Yehuda would allow it and say b'di'evet, because then why would it be putting the three of them together? The question is why the Dilma ha k'di'isa v'ha k'di'isa? Maybe not. Each one has their own rules, mentioning cheresh shoyt v'katan, but the cheresh could be b'di'evet is okay, and the shoyt v'katan, no. Sometimes you have that, a group of things where each one has its own rules. So maybe after all, the Mishnah could be like Rav Yehuda. However, the Gemara says, never mind that. How could you think that the Mishnah works, that you could say the Mishnah goes according to Rav Yehuda? The Mishnah continues that Rav Yehuda says it's kosher by a cotton. Miklal the Reisha lav Rav Yehuda. He obviously the Reisha must not be according to him because he's arguing. The Tanakhama had said cheresh shoyt v'katan. Rav Yehuda disagrees on a cotton, so obviously it must be a disagreement, and therefore two different tanaim. So the only logical thing is like a master said, the Mishnah must be according to Rav Yehuda. However, the Gemara says the Dilma Kula Rav Yehuda. Why? Maybe the whole Mishnah actually does go according to Rav Yehuda. Maybe again we would say that Rav Yehuda allows it to be eved, just like in our Mishnah he allows Shema to be eved. Or Trey Gavni cotton, because there are two types of cotton. There's a cotton that's not yet of the age of Chinuch, and then there's a cotton who's of the age of Chinuch. Rashi over here says the age of Chinuch would be like 9 or 10 years old, like it mentioned. So in other words, there's a difference. If the kid is 7 or 8 years old, then even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the Eved is no good. And if he's 9 or 10, then it would work for the Eved. And therefore, b'chasuri mechsura, we could say then that the Mishnah is missing words. In other words, it's implying words that it didn't have to say. B'hachi katani, what it really meant to say is like this: Hakol k'sher l'kris l'magila chutz l'cheres shayt v'katan. B'med gorem amurim. What kind of cotton are we talking about? Who can't be mozi people even b'di'evet, who's like the cheres and the shayta? Would be the cotton shleigia l'chinuch. Would be a cotton who didn't reach the age of chinuch. Aba cotton shleigia l'chinuch. But once he reached the age of chinuch, afilo hatchila kosher divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Then Rabbi Yehuda would say, forget about b'di'evet. Even the hatchila, he would be able to read the Megillah for other people. Just says the Rabbi Yehuda, share Rabbi Yehuda machshir b'cotton, because in fact Rabbi Yehuda says that a cotton is able to read the Megillah and be mozi other people. So you could, after all, say the whole Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos asks. Since when do we do a chasuri master and a mishnah to make it all according to make it all according to one tana? Why don't we just say it straightforward? It's according to Rabbi Yossi and have done with it. Tosfos says because later on the Gemara passes like Rabbi Yehuda of our mishnah, so the Gemara would like to assume that the mishnah and Megillah also follows Rabbi Yehuda the same. Yeah. So the Gemara said fine. Yeah. Right. Okay, the Gemara asked for my Okiva. Okay, so what are you trying to say? That the Mishnah and Megillah about the cotton reading and it being allowed, you're saying Kerub Yehuda, and you're saying that it depends whether he's a cotton below the age of Chinuch or not, that you would say the Di'evet Ein L'Chatzilaloi, so you would say like this, in other words, that you would say that the Mishnah and Megillah is that When it comes to Megillah, Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that if he's below the age of Chinuch, then he can't be Motzi, even the Di'evet, he's like the Cheresh and the Shoika. But once he reaches the age of Chinuch, he can be Motzi definitely not Chila. However, we could still say that in our Mishnah, he's saying only the Di'evet. If you didn't hear Shema, then you're Yotze. But Chila, you shouldn't do that. And therefore, we would say, applying that to the case in Megillah, we would say the Mishnah is a coincidence of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would be saying that the Cheresh is not able to be Motzi other people. Is not able to be Motzi other people because he can't hear. But when it comes to even B'di-Eved. But when it comes to Shema, then we would say that he's allowing it B'di-Eved. The problem with that is, what about, again, the braisa that we quoted before on Amud Aleph about a deaf person taking truma and making the bracha, where we said that a deaf person who is able to hear, is able to speak, but he's not able to hear, is able to take truma l'chatchila, money, then who would it be according to? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Yossi. It would seem not according to Rabbi Yehuda and not according to Rabbi Yossi. Because even Rabbi Yehuda would say by Shema they only Yosef the Di'evid, and Rabbi Yosef the Di'evid Nami Loi. And according to Rabbi Yosef, you're not even Yosef the Di'evid. So according to him, why would a Cheresh be able to take Truma and make the bracha l'chatchila?
Nobody says that it can be the chatchila to both.
That's the question. If we say that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that even Shema is only the Di'evid, and we're saying that way. That allows us, therefore, to understand that the Mishnah in Megillah is also talking about a l'chatchila versus b'di'evet situation. That Rabbi Yehuda would say that the cheresh actually is able to do it b'di'evet, but not l'chatchila. Same way as in our Mishnah, where b'di'evet yes l'chatchila lo. But then who's saying? And then who would be saying that a cheresh could take truma and make the bracha l'chatchila? The Gemara says, Elamai Rabbi Yehuda. So what are you going to say then? That Mishnah, that Braisa about the Cheresh being able to take L'chatchila is going to be a coincidence of Rabbi Yehuda. V'afilo L'chatchila Nami. And you're going to say then that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda allows him to even say Shema without hearing L'chatchila. Ela Hadatanya, we still have the problem. What about the Braisa that we quoted also? Lo Yevarach Adam because a Muslim believer, a person should not vent without hearing the words. Again, believer means that he says the words with his mouth, but he doesn't hear them with his ears.
Repeat that.
Ela Hadatanya, what about this that we learn in a Braisa? Lo Yevarach Adam Birkas Hamazon Belibay. A person should not say Birkas Hamazon in his heart, meaning that he says it with his lips, but he doesn't hear it with his ears. Being Birach Yotze, but if he did say it, then B'di'evet is Yotze. Again, we'd have to ask Mani, who would that be like? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Yossi. According to what we're saying now, that when with Shema, Rabbi Yehuda allows it even L'chatchila, and Rabbi Yossi doesn't allow it even B'di'evet. He would say that Shema is even good l'chatchila if you didn't hear it, and benching should also be. According to Rabbi Yossi, even the d'evet wouldn't work. So you seem to be stuck either way. If you say that Rabbi Yehuda says by Shema even l'chatchila, then you don't have anybody that the one about benching will work according to. And if you say he holds only d'evet, then you don't have anybody that the braisa about a cheresh being able to take Shema l'chatchila works according to. The answer is la'olam Rabbi Yehuda. We could, after all, say that the braisa about taking truma l'chatchila by cheresh taking truma is a coincidence of Rabbi Yehuda. About filo l'chatchila nami, and Rabbi Yehuda himself would hold by shema and by the bracha of truma that even l'chatchila it's okay if you didn't hear it. But like Kasha, but it's not a problem. Hadidei hadirabe, because you could say again, as we said on Amud Aleph, that there's a difference between his own opinion and his rebbe. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. Tanya, Omer of Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Hakoreh Shema Tzorach Sheyashmiya La'oznei. He says in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that a person says Shema, he has to hear it with his ears. Shema Yisrael. and therefore that implies hearing. Omelet of Meir. So the Meir says, how could he say? You have to hear it. It says that I command you should be on your heart. In other words, besides what we said before, that's focusing on the heart. Also the fact that it says, that I command you that it has to be in your heart. In other words, you don't have to hear it. Goes basically according to the kavanah. So as long as he has the kavanah, even if he doesn't hear it with his ears, then that's good enough. Then that's l'chila, okay. So we have Reb Meir's opinion. So hashta de osis l'achi, again, like we said before, now that we reached that, now that we found that there's Reb Meir's opinion as well, afilo tamer of Yehuda k'rabe sfirale, we can after all say that Yehuda agrees with Reb Elazar ben Azariah, but like kasha hodi de hodi rabe, we can say, there's no contradiction because one is according to Rabbi Yehuda, one is according to Rabbi Meir. So altogether, then we would say, according to this maskana, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that there's a difference between Hachila and B'di'evet. Rabbi Yossi holds even B'di'evet not. So only by Truma is he going to be Mekel, because it's only the Rabbanan. The Bracha is only the Rabbanan, and the Truma doesn't depend on it. Reb Meir, meanwhile, is going to be Mekel by all of them and say that even if he didn't hear them, then he's Yotzer. Whether we're talking about Megillah, whether we're talking about making the Bracha on Truma, or whether we're talking about Shema. That's one way. The other way is we said that Rabbi Yehuda could be arguing with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. We didn't need it.
We didn't like that.
We said we don't like it, but we could have done that if we didn't have Reb Meir's opinion. That's what we would have done. Now we're saying that Reb Meir can be standing by himself, and Reb Yehuda goes with Reb Elazar ben Azariah. By the way, this that we mentioned about Birkas Hamazon Belivoi, it does say in Shulchan Aruch, it is true that a person is not Yotze Birkas Hamazon if he doesn't actually say the words or Shema or anything. However, it does say in Shulchan Aruch, let's say a person is in a situation where he's not able to say Birkas Hamazon. For example, I think Rabbeinu Yonah brings on the wrist. One example would be, a person's bed is dirty. Imagine, for example, you have a patient in the hospital. Now, we're not talking about the fact where the catheter is a whole other matter. You have post-game who say that a catheter is not considered a vessel full of soya because it's sealed and whatever, and therefore you're able to make brachas in the presence of that. Some of them require it should be covered, but fine, everybody agrees that just the fact that it's in the womb is not a problem because it's sealed and no odor comes out of it. But let's say it happens. The bed itself is dirty. They didn't get to him in time with a bedpan, and now his sheets are dirty. So he's not
happy. Food or...
Well, I mean, dirty with excrement or whatever. He's not actually able to say Birkas Hamazon under those conditions. Nevertheless, it says in Shulchan Aruch, at least in that case, he should stink the words of Birkas Hamazon. He's not Yotze. He's not actually Yotze, but at least Hashem Yirul Alev. Hashem sees to the heart and realizes that he's in a situation where he can't do otherwise.
Why do you say he has to say the words itself? The whole Birkas Hamazon.
You have to say it. Ideally, we're saying, according to what we're saying over here, you have to say it, Sheyashmi Allah Ozna, that you should hear it with his ears. Yeah. So you have to say it loud enough for yourself to be able to hear it. If you just mouth the words, then we're saying you yotze all the time. Yeah. So if you don't, then you yotze only b'di'evet. Okay. Fine. All right. So the Gemara says.
Someone else doesn't have to understand what you're saying.
Omer of Chista, Omer of Shila, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Sha'omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda who said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that you're supposed to hear the words when you say Shema. And also the Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. And also you should know the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda of our mission. Now why do we need to say both? Utsricha. We need to say both. If we only said the halacha is like the behorda in our Mishnah, have aminat lahatchila, we would understand that means that even lahatchila he doesn't have to hear the words of Shema, because we would have understood it. We were doing throughout the whole sugya over here, we were going back and forth whether the behorda in our Mishnah is allowing lahatchila or only b'di'evet. We would have thought it's allowed even lahatchila. Kamash Malon, that is why he wants to tell us halacha could be behorda sha'alam mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, where Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says clearly tzarich sheyashmi ala ozma. On the other hand, you're supposed to lahatchila. The Iyashmin and Halacha Rabbi Yehuda Shama Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Conversely, though, if we were only told the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, then you would understand. Have Amina Sorich the Ein Loi Takon. Maybe the word Sorich over here has a meaning, as the Gemara mentions in a few other places in Shach, where Sorich sometimes means you need to do it. Usually, Sorich means you have to do it that way, lahatchila, but it's not ma'akiv. But there are some times when sorech means ve'ein lo takana, means if you didn't do it that way, then there's no fixing it up. In other words, it has to be done that way or it's ma'akev. So you would think that maybe here, when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying sorech, that he has to have his ears hear it, maybe it means that it has to be that way no matter what, even b'di'evet. Therefore, Rav Chisda also told us that halacha is like Rav Yehuda. In other words, it is, after all, okay b'di'evet. So that's the maskana, therefore. It's not allowed b'chachila. B'chachila, you have to, when you're saying shema, or when you're benching, or whatever, you do have to hear the words. But b'di'evet, if you didn't, then you yotze.
Okay, that's the general one.
That's what we get from these, from combining together these two statements. That's what we get from combining together these two statements. That the halacha is like Rav Yehuda in our Mishnah, and that the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. On the one hand, it means tzorich, you need, but you shouldn't think that tzorich means ve'en le'takana. Our Mishnah says yotze. On the other hand, you shouldn't think yotze means he's yotze even the chachila. Tzorich means he should do it the other way to begin with. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef, machloikas to Krishna. So Rav Yosef says this whole machloikas is regarding Krishna. Avo b'sha'ar mitzvahs, but when it comes to the brachas on other mitzvahs, Dibrei Hakol lo yotze. Says Rav Yosef, when it comes to the brachas on other mitzvahs, if a person said them in a way that he doesn't hear, then everybody would agree he's not yotze. Dichtiv, because the pasuk says haskes u'shma Yisrael, pay attention and listen Yisrael, and it's talking about the mitzvahs. So therefore, we see that you have to listen.
But you're saying on Pesach Shema.
One second, maybe the Gemara says Avakat. It's fine. By Shema, you have a special thing because there's all of that. Like you said. So the question is, maybe you have a contradiction. And Bryce says, we said before, a person should not say Birkas HaMazon in his heart, meaning without hearing the words, but if he said it without actually hearing the words, just mouthing them, then he's Yotze. So what do you mean he's not Yotze by other mitzvahs? You're right. If it was said, this statement of Rabbi Yosef, it was said the other way around. The machloikas is only by kriyishma, dechtiv, shma Yisrael. Because after all, the pasuk says shma Yisrael, which implies that you have to hear it. Avo b'shar mitzvahs, divrei hakol yotze. But by other mitzvahs, if you didn't hear them, for example, benching, everybody agrees that you're yotze. Even Rav Yosi would agree that you're yotze.
So it's just the opposite.
So the question is, what do you mean? You have the pasuk that says haskes u'shma, pay attention and listen Yisrael. The answer is, ahubu divrei Torah. That's talking about saying words of Torah. When you say words of Torah, you're supposed to, so first of all, Rashi explains that the word haskes itself, we're going to learn at the very end of the Masechta, means kasatu asmachem al divrei Torah. Be ready to cut yourselves up about divrei Torah. In other words, like to crush yourself, like to learn to harvest, to work hard in learning Torah. But the point is that if we're talking about divrei Torah, that there it's important to hear what you're saying. It's important to learn Torah verbally and not just learn it in your mind. But when it comes to brachas, then this pasuk is not applying. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other brachas.
The other brachas, right. Okay. Fine. We said in the Mishnah, korav l'diktik v'osiyaseha, we said if a person says Shema and is not precise with the letters of it, so we said for he slurs the letters, or he doesn't pronounce shvanaz and shvanach correctly. So we said we had also a machlokas. So again, we had two machlokas in our Mishnah. One where he didn't hear the words of Shema, which is what we were discussing this whole time. The second one, we had also a machlokas the other way around. If Lloyd Dichtik Bosius there, where there Rav Yosi is Makel and says he's Yosef, and Rav Yehuda is Machmer and says he's not Yosef. Amr of Tobi, Amr of Yoshia, Halacha, Kedivir Shneim Mahakal. The Halacha is like both of them to be Makel. In other words, in the first Machlok, that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that he's Yosef B'di'evet, and in the second Machlok, that the Halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, that he's Yosef B'di'evet. And that's the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So you are Yosef even if you don't hear the words, although you're not supposed to do that, and you're also Yosef even if you weren't careful about the Shvanaz and Shvanachs and whatnot, but again, you're not supposed to do that.
And that applies to
Shema. Actually, in Shulchan Aruch it says it really applies not only to Shema, it really applies to other parts of davening as well. That you should be careful with to pronounce the letters.
You're Yotze if you didn't hear the words, even if you didn't hear the words.
And you're Yotze even if you didn't pronounce the words correctly. Oh. Actually, I said that wrong, rather. As far as the Shvanaz and Shvanach, that it says is not necessarily as important in other places in davening, but this that we're going to mention soon in the Gemara, that you have to be careful not to slur two words together, you can mispronounce them, that you have to be careful in other places in davening as well. We're going to give examples of it soon in
Shvanach.
For example, you have words that end, you have places where one word ends with a certain letter and the next letter begins with the same letter. Al-Lavavecha is an example the Gemara is going to give soon. So that applies in other places in davening that you're supposed to be careful about that also. Okay. Since we mentioned something that Rav Tavi said in the name of Rav Yoshia about the halacha in our Mishnah, so again, as the Gemara often does, it mentions incidentally another thing that he says. My dichtiv, what is the meaning of a pasuk in Mishlei? Sholosh heino loisis bana. It says there were three things that are never satisfied. And the pasuk mentions among them, sh'oil v'oitzer rocham. It mentions among them, sh'oil, which means the grave, v'oitzer rocham, and the narrow womb, the narrow entrance to the womb, in other words. So the question is, what are those two things doing together? You have a third thing in the pasuk. That mentions the earth. So why is the earth mentioned first, and then these two are juxtaposed? And also, for example, Marshall also explains that the question is, with the earth, it says what it's never satisfied of. With she'ol and earth racham, it doesn't spell out in the pasuk what it's never satisfied with. The simple meaning of the pasuk, in other words, just like the earth is never satisfied with rain, no matter how much it rains, the earth can always make good use of it. No matter how many people are buried, there's always more people going to be buried. There's always more people dying. No matter how much kashmish people have, they're never satisfied. They always want more. But the Gemara wants the darshan over here again. That doesn't spell out what she'ol and oitzer racham, what exactly they're never satisfied with. So v'chimayin and she'ol oitzer racham. Ela loy malach. What the pasuk is telling you with putting them together is like this. Ma rechem machnes u'moitzi. The rechem, the womb, takes in the seed u'moitzi, and eventually it gives out the baby. Eventually the baby comes out of it. Af she'ol machnes u'moitzi. So also the grave takes in when the person is buried, but eventually it gives out by tchiyas hamayim. And v'haloi dvarim kavachomer. And furthermore, we can make a kavachomer. Uma rechem shemachnisin by b'chashai. When the zera is introduced into the rechem, it's done in secret because, of course, people have relations in secret. Motzin memenu b'kolei kolos. But when the baby comes out, there's a huge amount of noise because the mother is crying, the baby is crying, whatever. The grave, where when the body is put into the grave, there's kolei kolos. There's a lot of loud crying and hespedim and whatever. How much more so that when the person comes out of the grave, when tchiyas hamayim happens, there will be kolei kolos. There will be a lot of noise because there will be v'hoyah v'yemahu yitaka b'shofar gadol. The great shofar will be blown.
It's not exactly the same cases. One is it's silent as opposed to noise.
And the other one is noise as opposed to noise. Is noise as opposed to noise. From here is a refutation against those people who would claim there's nothing about tchiyas hamayim in the Torah, because you have this pasuk that's telling us that there's a comparison between she'ol and the rechem.
Where is the pasuk?
It's a pasuk in Mishlei, in Kapitel
Lamed. But we don't, do we count Mishlei?
Of course, Mishlei is part of Tanakh.
It's part of Tanakh.
Yes. When they claim ain't tchiyas hamayim in the Torah, they mean there's nothing about it in Tanakh at all. And here we see they claim, yeah, people, you have people. I don't know. No, you have many. This is one excerpt. There's a Gemara in Perek Chayil at the beginning of the last Perek of Sanhedrin. The Gemara goes to many, many, many sources for tchiyas hamayim in
the Torah. What's the most?
I don't know. The Gemara mentions it. The Gemara mentions a whole bunch of them. Well,
the essential.
I don't know. We'll learn over there. But so the point is, it is a person does have to believe that tchiyas hamayim is min haTorah, and if not, then actually the Mishnah says over there that he's a kofer or min or what have you. Okay. Rav Oshia kamei de Rama. Rav Oshia taught a brisa in front of Rama, darshaning a word from Shema. When it says uchsav tom, it says you should write them. The word uchsav tom can also be broken up into uchsav tom. You should write complete. You should write complete. What does that mean? Hakol b'chsav means the entire parasha has to be written out. Afilu tzavoy, even the parts with the commandments. In other words, you shouldn't think, for example, let's say you have the parasha of Shema, which goes until the Visharecha. You would think, when the Torah is telling you to write these words in the mezuzah, maybe in the mezuzah or in tefillin, you don't have to write the actual words, that's telling you what to do. The Torah is telling you, let's say that the three spoken before that, you're supposed to write in the mezuzah. No, uchsav tam means the entire parasha. Amalei, so Rava tells him, who is this brayta according to? The Amalachmani. Which Tana is telling you this, that you need a pasuk to tell you that you have to write the tzavoy, because otherwise you would think not. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently, that brisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Omer Gabe Soita, we're in connection with the writing out of the parasha of the Soita, which is going to be dissolved in the water and given to the Soita to drink. Rabbi Yehuda says over there, Olois Kosev, Tzavoy, Eni Kosev. Now you have there like this. in Parashas Nasa, when it describes the whole thing of the Sota, so it describes over there how the Kohen makes you swear, Imloy Sotis Pachas, Imloy Nitmeis, Imloy Sotis Pachas Ishech, etc., then you'll be cleansed, and if Pisotis Vachinitmeis, then you're going to blow up, and you're going to whatever. And you have, so Rabbi Yehuda holds over there that because it doesn't say Ochsavtam, it just says that the Kohen should write the Olois, so Rabbi Yehuda learns the Olois means the curses. So let's look at the actual psukim. The actual psukim is like this. The pasuk says like this. Vishbia oisak koyin. The koyin should make a swear as follows. He says to the woman, "V'almar al isha in loy shachav ish oisak. If no other man has lain with you, v'im loy sotis tumatachas isha, he nochim imei amarim amarim ma'ela. Then you'll be cleansed from the effect of these bitter cursing waters. Va'at ki sotis tachas isha v'im imeis. But if you did, va'yitin eshbachas shchopin v'alad isha. Then the pasuk continues. Vishbia a koyin at the isha b'shuah to Allah. At that point, the koyin adjures, makes her accept the shuah with the shuah of the curse. V'almar al koyin la isha. And he says to her, "Yitzen Hashem oisak la'olav l'shuah b'tzechamis. Hashem will make you an object of curse and oath among your people. When your leg will fall off, your thigh will swell, your stomach will burst, etc.
Is that giving the people just to kill us?
No. It means that she herself is going to blow up and die as a result of drinking the mamorim. The point is, you have a machloikus over there. What exactly is the Kohen writing on this scroll that he's giving her to drink? Is he writing everything that it says in those psukim, including the part when it says the Kohen should tell her such and such? Or is he only writing the actual words of the Shavua itself? This is what's going to happen if you were guilty, that you are going to blow up and you're going to die. So the point, that's because over there it doesn't say Ochsavtam. So the Tanakhama over there in Sota says that you start from Imloy Shachav Isha Isach. So fine, the Tanakhama agrees, you don't write the words Vishbiya Koyan at the Allah, because that's the narrative, the Koyan should adjure her with this oath. But, so you actually have three opinions in the mission over there. You have the Tanakhama says that he leaves out the narrative, but he writes everything that the Koyan says to the woman. Rabbi Yossi says he writes everything including the narrative, including the Vishbiya Koyan. And Rabbi Yehuda says all you write is the last pasuk and a half. Only the actual curses and oaths that he makes her swear, not the whole preamble, if you did this, if you didn't do that. Rabbi Yehuda says you don't write that all. That's the tzavor. So therefore, so what's the point? So by the sota, it says that he should write as ha'olay ta'ela, these curses, tzavor, and so Rabbi Yehuda says, olay curses, tzavor, any curses, he writes out the olay, he does not write out the tzavor, and only v'chosam u'dichtiv. So the reason would be, only because over there, the pasuk says, v'chosam u'olay ta'ela, he should write these curses, imply, and it doesn't say u'chsavtam, so it means he doesn't write the whole parasha, avol ha'cha dichtiv u'chsavtam. But you're arguing, you, Rav Oshia, who are bringing this brayta, apparently you understand that Rabbi Yehuda would say that here, because it says Chsavtam, afilu tzavo ois nami, then it has to include even the tzavois, because that's to include the whole parasha. The problem with that is, also timed Rabbi Yehuda, b'shem d'chtiv v'chosav, you're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda's reason by soja is because it says v'chosav and it doesn't say Chsavtam. That's not really his reason. Timed Rabbi Yehuda, b'shem d'chtiv olois. The reason is because it stresses over there that he writes, only that he writes the olois, implying olos ein tzavois loy. So you write only the olos. Only it says v'chosav as olos ta'ela. So if you heard to understand, that means he's only writing the olos, not the tzavois. Ah, pochanami tzavois loy. Olos ein tzavois loy. So therefore, so in other words, why are you of Oshia bringing a brisa that says that you, because it says Chsavtam, you have to write the whole thing? Even Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't require that. Even Rabbi Yehuda would say, where it says Olois, then sure, you write only Olois. He wouldn't say to write only these words, so why would you think that you don't have to write the Tzavois? The answer is, the Gemara says, Istur. You do actually need the Braisa. You would say, after all, the Braisa is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda, we would still say that you need it, Sakadai to come in, and Melech Ksiva Ksiva Mehotam, because otherwise we would think we'd learn Xer Shaba on the word Ksiva. Where it says he uchsavtam and there it says v'chosav, you would think to make a zera shava. Mahosam olos ein tzavois loy. Just like over there, Rabbi Yehuda is saying you leave out the tzavois, you leave out the whole preamble if you did this and if you didn't do that. Ah, hochanami tzavois loy. You would think that maybe over here you don't have to write the actual words of uchsavtam al mezuzah v'techo v'sharecha. Kosarachman uchsavtam after the tzavois. Therefore, we can say that just the opposite. By writing uchsavtam, the Torah is telling you don't try to make that zera shava. Write the entire parasha, including the tzavois. Okay, Tony Rabbi Vadya Kamedu Rava, then Rabbi Vadya taught a braita in front of Rava. when the pasuk says also v'limad tem, this is in the second parasha as well, v'limad tem, also we learn that the limud should be tam, sheyehe limud chatam, you're learning, which means also saying shema, which we learned before, is kind of the equivalent of learning Torah, should be perfect, meaning sheyitin revach ben hadveikin. You have to put a space between words that would otherwise be connected. So what does that mean? Oni Rava Basre. The Rava answers and continues following the Rabbi Badia. I'll give you some examples. You're going Al Levavecha, Al Levavchem, V'chol Levavcha, V'chol Levavchem. All of those, if you say them fast, you're going to end up leaving out one Lamed. You have to say them more carefully. Mind you, it says in it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. That's what everybody says in Shulchan Aruch, that when it comes to some of these, for example, b'chol levavcha, the two words are connected together with a makas, which means they are a makas, the horizontal line, right? So in terms of dikduk and in terms of the truck, they're actually considered as if they were one word. So you shouldn't separate them too far apart, because the fact is they are connected, but you should separate them just enough to make it that there's two lines over there.
How would you not separate these two words?
You could say b'chol levavcha, which would sound like there's only one lamed over there, or you could say b'chol levavcha, and that's also not really correct, because they are supposed to be connected with a makas. The proper way, then, is to say b'chol levavcha. So there's a slight separation, enough to hear that it's two separate lamed. With the other ones where you don't have, for example, and with some of the other ones where you don't have some of the other examples that we're going to give over here, where they're not connected to the makas, there can be a bigger break. Another example, Esev b'sadcha. Interesting point, because Esev begins with ends with a vase, and Bisodcha begins with a vase. You would think there's no way you're going to slew them together. One possibility is actually among Sfardim, they pronounce a vase differently than we do. They don't pronounce it as with there is a teeth on the lip like we do, a z. Instead, they pronounce it with the lips almost together, but slightly separated. So like a vase, but with a slight separation. Vase versus vase. So then there's a much greater similarity between Esev and Sadcha, where you could slur them together.
You should say Esev Sadcha.
Well, there's a base there, so now I'll be there. Also another one, Va'avadtem Behera, Hakonoch Psil, again the same thing with Fe and Pe, Eschem et Me'era. So those are all examples of places in Shema where you have to be careful not to slur the two words together. Tosfos brings from the Rif, and some of it is also in the Yerushalmi, there are a number of other examples. When it comes to the words, v'chora ach, for example, you have to be careful, because if you slur them together, it comes out, you're saying v'chora, which means he will insult. Also, for example, you have to be careful when you have one word ends with a mem, and the next one begins with an aleph, or isem oisei, for example, v'limadtem oisam es v'neichem, for example, if you slur them, then you come out saying, for example, in the example that Tosfos, Urisa Moisa. Moisa, you come out saying, and that would be wrong. V'limadta Moisa mes v'nechem, that kind of thing. You have to be careful about that. Another example is that you have to pronounce carefully the Zion of the word Tizkuru, Laman Tizkuru, Vasif, and Atomat Voisai, because otherwise it sounds like a sin. And then it comes out that you're saying Laman Tiskuru. You should do the mitzvah in order that you'll get tzach. So these are all things that you have. These are all the
people accentuate.
That's why you have people accentuate the Zion, right? So these are all the kinds of things that we're talking about in order. So this is all the kinds of things that you have to do, that you have to be careful with in order that the words are not slurred together or misunderstood or mispronounced or whatever. Yeah. In the printed Rif, it also brings a couple of more. It brings one, for example, where you have let me actually look it up. It's an interesting little thing to talk about how different Kehillos pronounce things. So he gives an example also, for example, Oisai Uzchartem. Or Isam Oisai Uzchartem. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says on that, what are you talking about? How do you, okay, we Ashkenazim say Oisai with a Yud at the end, but obviously it's not going to be slurred together, but even Sardim would say Oto Uzchartem. How are you going to get together? Cholam and Chol. So, no, but even Ashkenazim. So an interesting point I saw, somebody pointed out, you have certain Yekes pronounce a Cholam as Ow. So by then, for example, they would say Uri Isam Ow Sow. So then, yeah, you would have if their way of pronouncing. So by then, yes, they would have to be careful. If you were to say, or if them outsaw we hired them, then yeah, you're going to clue to them. You have people, you have certain older yeses, yeah, that say, particularly from northern Germany, yeah, that pronounce the whole area. Okay. Maybe I don't know. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So these are all the kinds of things you have to be careful. Okay.
Can you, let me ask you pronunciation. Can you say Birchi Nafshi?
No, you have to pronounce it in accordance.
They say E.
I don't know.
Birch.
I'm not familiar with that. Okay, that's the law. Okay, there is a tshuva for Reb Moshe where he talks about any pronunciation that has become accepted by a Jewish community can be considered a valid pronunciation of Moshe Kodesh. After all, for example, you have Ashkenazim pronounced one way, Sfaradim, Temonim, you know, many different people pronounce. So Reb Moshe writes in the tshuva that any of them are valid, Afi Torah, because they are the minhag of the local community. So therefore, yeah. So you can't go mixing pronunciations, but you can pick whichever one you want, and then it's valid. Of the halacha, he says. Okay. Anybody who says Shema and is precise with the letters of it, like we said, he pronounces all the words and all the letters carefully. Mitsanin loy Gehenna. They cool down Gehenna for him.
Right.
Shenema, as the pasuk says, it's still on Hesvavon Day. Shenema, before a shakai malachim ba, as the pasuk said, the simple meaning of the pasuk is when Hashem spreads out the kings in it, Tashla is the Salmon, it's white, it snows in Salmon, but the Gemara Darshan, I'll take you before race, don't read before race when he spreads out, but rather before race when you enunciate. So therefore it comes out when you enunciate the letters of Malchus Shemayim, shakai is the name of Hashem, so that when you enunciate carefully the letters of Malchus Shemayim, Malachim Ba, the Malchus of Hashem that's in it, Tashleg, the Talmud, then the Torah, with the Torah, through which kings reign, Rashi says, Tishalig, the Tatan and Lachos Telamavis, will cause that the shadow of death, meaning Gehenna, will be cooled off and snowed in for you. So in other words, what we're darshaning, I'll pick with the Talmud, Elab Talmavis. Don't read the Talmud, meaning in darkness, Elab Talmavis, in the shadow of death, meaning in Gehenna. So a person is in Gehenna, but because he was Medakis in Krishma, therefore, he was before Shakai, he enunciated clearly the letters, the words that speak of Hashem's kingship. Therefore, Malachim Ba Tashlig of the Talmud, the kingly Torah, causes it to be cooled down for him in the shadow of death of Gehenna. So, what does that mean? So first of all, there's a Gleich Vertel I once heard about it, a little bit of a joke, that the reason is, we're talking about a person who is, because he's so precise, he's such a pedant, and every little detail he's careful about, therefore, if they bring him to Gan Eden, what's he doing in Gehenna if they have to cool it down for him? The problem with such a person, they bring him into Gan Eden, he's going to be so picky about everything, he's going to turn into another Gehenna. So all they can do is put him in Gehenna and cool it off. Yeah, they say such a thing. He's going to turn Gan Eden into another Gehenna. So that's a joke explanation. More serious explanations is we're talking about even if he does have to go into Gehenna for other reasons, but it's cooled off for him. A number of Mephoshim say the idea, since he's careful and he's not rushing ahead like with a fire to finish up as fast as possible, he's taking the time to go slow and careful. Therefore, he deserves, and that's close. That also, like Gehenna, is therefore cooled off for him. The Tzlach says we can be talking about, let's say, it's brought in various places. Sometimes you have the neshama of a tzaddik is brought through Gehenna on his way to Gan Eden in order that he can bring with him neshamas that their time in Gehenna is almost up anyway. So therefore, the tzaddik, with his chosin, is able to help them that last little bit to get out of Gehenna. So here we're talking about when he comes as such a person, if he was also among his various mice and tzaddikim that he did, if he was careful with the words of Shema, then even the fact that he himself has to go through the Gehenna, it'll be cooled off for him on the way, says the Tzlach.
Yes, some of it always refers to Gehenna.
It doesn't always, but it could.
It's not something that can happen in this world.
It could, I guess, but over here, the Gemara is doubting that's referring to Gehenna. Okay. But Amar Rav Chama Rav Chanina, and Rav Chama Rav Chanina also says another thing. Again, since we mentioned one thing from him, then we're mentioning another one. We just said about Kol HaKodesh Krishma, so another one. Laman Nismuchu Oihalim Nechalim. Why are Oihalim mentioned together with Nechalim in the Pasuk? Oihalim, so Rashi says, okay, Jachdib, you have a Pasuk, one second, Jachdib, you have a Pasuk in Bilam's Brachas. Can Nechalim Nitoyu, like streams that are flowing, Kiganes Ale Nahar, like gardens by a river, Ka'aholim Nosavagrenar, like Aholim, that, which means tent, that Hashem planted. Rashi points out, the word planting refers to tents, because when you pitch a tent, it can be called, the Torah uses sometimes the word Natiya for it. So therefore, so we see that there's a comparison between streams and tents. So why the comparison? Tosfos says that's not the comparison the Gemara is talking about, because aholim in that pasuk does not mean tent. If it was, it would say oholim or oholim, whatever. Aholim, Tosfos says, is a type of spice, aloes or something, some type of herb. So it doesn't mean, it doesn't refer to tents at all. Rather, Tosfos says, because it says matovu oholecho yakov, missionary Israel, and the next pasuk continues kinecholim. So again, there's a
problem.
That's the point. In other words, so therefore, Tosfos says that ka'aholim not Hashem does not refer to tent. It refers to some kind of herb, aloes or something. But rather, since the pasuk says matrevo oyolecho yakov, which there definitely means tent, mishkanecho Yisrael, and the next pasuk continues to necholim, let me see again. There's a comparison between tents and necholim. So what's the comparison? Loimaloch to tell you, man necholim malon for adam mitumah latara. Just like a stream is able to bring a person up from tumah to tara, a person is tumah, he tovel in a stream, and now he's tahor. Af aholim, also the tents of Torah, the tents where people learn Torah, malon for adam kachovel kachus, they take a person up from the side of the scale of guilt to the side of innocence. In other words, the source of learning Torah is an important thing, that there's an important thing that takes a person from the bad side of Hashem's scale to the good side. Just like Necholim makes a person Tahor, so also learning Torah does.
So there's a comparison.
So there's a comparison between Aholim, between the tents of Torah, and Necholim and Sweden.